brother, was it 23 years ago? Oh, 20 years ago. Okay. So pray for them and her work. A couple months plus total darkness, a couple months plus always light. So, but it's, I told him, I said, neither one of you have aged a bit. Now, those three children have, because they weren't even born when you were here. So they have really aged, but not you. So God bless you, brothers. You come and speak for us this morning.
I'll do it for the video first. Is that okay?
If you'd like to, sure. That's fine.
This 2021. This video is actually 2 years old.
And I'll talk about that a little bit once I get up there after the video. But we just praise the Lord again for this church. You all have been heavily involved in our ministry. I mean, I could easily say this church has probably invested the most outside of our own sending church. Amen. And we appreciate your faithfulness, just the encouragement so many times, Pastor Austin encouraging us and all the letters that our family received during the dark times, amen. good news from a faraway land, amen. Okay, we'll show this video now.
Here since 2007, we are the first Baptist missionaries in Greenland. When we first arrived, there was no one waiting for us at the airport. There were no believers, no veteran missionary, no one. We did not have long-term housing, nor could we speak the languages. We had three children under the age of six, and my wife was expecting our fourth child in a month. We knew no one. We were alone. It was just us and God. When all you have is God, then you find that He is all you need. Amen. And as He has proven to us over and over again, with God, all things are possible. Children's ministry, a prison ministry, and of course, our Sunday services. I preached several times a week in Greenlandic, one of the most difficult languages in the world to learn. We started with no gospel literature, but the Lord has enabled us to translate many tracts into Greenlandic. Our family is a vital part of the ministry. From cleaning, feeding, teaching, etc., they are involved in every aspect. We started with a few children in our one-room apartment, and today we have a church full each week. is our local prison, which houses inmates from all over Greenland. Once released, they return to their hometowns and villages. I regularly hold services in here, so we are literally reaching all of Greenland through this prison ministry. God miraculously opened up the door for us to come into this closed country, and through His divine intervention, we are able to invite other missionaries in. We are the only way they can legally come into the country. With God, all things are possible. The Lord has brought us a long ways from where we started. However, we still have a long ways to go on this pioneer mission field. Please keep praying for these precious Greenlandic souls that Christ Jesus died for. Without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Everything accomplished for the Lord in Greenland is fruit added to your account. We have been on the mission field since 2005, and many of you we have never met, and others we have not seen in a very long time. But I want to thank you for holding the ropes for this missionary family. Thank you for your faithful prayers and faithful support for us. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. So that's all. You've all had a part in that. Amen. Take your Bibles. I want to talk to you a little bit about what God has been doing, what He has done. But take your Bibles. I want to read a couple of verses to you. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And while you're looking at Matthew 19, 26, I'm going to turn to Acts 14. Acts 14. Of course, Matthew 19, 26 has become our life verse. It says, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. Look at Acts, or you can just listen. Acts 14, 26, verse 26. It says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Now, who are we talking about here? Who's the Bible talking about? It's talking about Paul and Barnabas, right? They're returning from their first missionary journey. And it says that when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So here we have the very first missions conference in the Bible. Amen. Paul and Barnabas returned to their sending church, and they gathered the church together. They said, we got to tell you something. We got to tell you what God's been doing. Amen. And they had that meeting there, and the people rejoiced, and they were able to spend time and just be with the church for a while, get fellowship, amen, get encouragement. I think Mrs. Austin was saying, you look tired this morning. Well, you know what, we didn't want to miss any time of fellowshipping. It was just great. It just was wonderful. I'm so glad we got to spend that time yesterday and also the time Friday with the Coy family. Just what a blessing, what an encouragement to us. But I want to give you the testimony of what God did. Maybe some of you already remember. You've stayed in touch with us so much. You probably know everything about us. Amen. But I just think it's important to tell you what God has done. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity again to be in your house. And thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. So glad that we know Him as our Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that you've saved us from our sins. And thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be part of your work. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the pastor and just all the people here. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the support and prayers through so many years. Lord, we ask you now to just encourage us through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen. The key with the verse is with God, right? With God. You know, William Carey, he was a pioneer missionary to India in the 1800s. And he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Amen. That's the God we serve, the God that can do the impossible. But we must remember that it's with God, right? With God. You know, when God called me to Greenland, I was only 19 years old. And just thinking about, you know, my family, you know, obviously God doesn't call everybody under 19 years old. Sometimes I put pressure on my own children. you know, God already called me when I was 19. Amen. God deals differently with everyone. Amen. But I was in Bible college and God was working in my heart about preaching. So I first surrendered to preach. I talked to my pastor and I just knew that God was calling me to preach. And I just began praying, you know, just continued praying. And then God began to press upon my heart about missions. And I surrendered to go. And I remember praying and asking the Lord, you know, I would like to go somewhere where there's not too many missionaries. Amen. God does answer prayers, doesn't he? And at the time, we actually had a man come to the Bible college I was at. And he was from the Arctic of Canada. And I remember just watching the pictures and thinking, there's no way I could ever do anything like that. Now, this was back in the 70s, so it was way back. I thank the Lord that the world has gotten more modernized. But he ended up being, he was the mission director. He ended up being our mission director, and we were actually the first missionary with that mission agency. Amen. But I surrendered to go to the mission field, but I didn't know where. So I began praying, you know, just Lord, I didn't know it was the Lord at the time, but the Lord impressed Greenland on my mind, on my heart, and I began, you know, researching it. And I thought, does anyone even live there? And we get that sometimes when we travel. They ask us, they're like, what did they say one time? That's when we were in Iceland. We were living in Iceland. Somebody said, I didn't know people lived in Iceland. I know nobody lives in Greenland. the Lord just through different circumstances, because I was reading my Bible, seeking the Lord out. But through certain circumstances in my life, it just seemed like all of a sudden Greenland was in the news. This was, you know, 20 some years ago, 1999. The internet was still very new, so there wasn't much online. My parents had these old encyclopedias from the 70s about Greenland, and I was looking back to it thinking, wow, this place is so remote. But Lord just impressed it upon my heart, and I finally surrendered and said, Lord, I'll go to Greenland. Amen. Now, I met Carol in Bible college, and it's kind of funny because her dad is a preacher, but he wasn't really keen about girls going to Bible college. And so it was a miracle that she was there. And so we met, and she can give her testimony, you know, sometime about what happened with her mom and everything. But so we started, you know, talking, and we became, you know, I began courting her and calling her every night. She went back to Maine. I was in Maryland, and I asked her after God called me to Greenland. I asked her. I said, I think God's calling me to missions. Would you be willing to go with me wherever God leads me? And she said yes. And then she said, Where do you think God's leading you? And I told her Greenland, amen, and she still married me, amen. She followed me to the ends of the earth, amen. But with God, all things are possible, right? And, you know, when we first started to Greenland, our mission director told us, he said, Greenland is a closed country. So he told us to keep that in mind as we, you know, began to make plans. And, of course, we were on deputation, and we were working in a school, teaching in a Christian school while we were traveling and, to meetings. And then we finally went full-time deputation. But the time came to go to Greenland, and they would not let us in. Now, Greenland is part of the Danish government, so we had a deal with Denmark, and Denmark wouldn't let us in. They said the only way for a religious person to get into the country is if there's a church, a denomination already there that can invite them into the country. And, of course, there were no Baptist churches there. So we began praying about what to do, and the Lord revealed to us the country of Iceland. And if we lived in Iceland for 7 years, we could get our Icelandic citizenship, and then we could move into Greenland, just like you would move from one state to the next. There would be no restrictions. So that was our plan. We moved to Iceland. And, you know, of course, God had other plans. Amen. And we got to Iceland, and there was a U.S. military base there, Naval Air Base. And there was a Baptist church there that was specifically for the servicemen. And we were working with the natives, a native ministry, but we were able to go to the Baptist church when we had time. And the military Baptist church, of course, we're working with the Baptist church too, amen. The pastor of the military church, he asked me to come one Sunday and preach and present our burden, our ministry, to Greenland. So I spoke that morning, and there was a woman that was sitting in that service that she worked for the U.S. Military, but she was a liaison to the NATO forces. And I don't know if you're familiar with the NATO forces, but they're a bunch of countries that work together. And they actually had a base in Iceland as well. So she was the liaison to them. And she, without us knowing, she went and talked to the commander of the NATO forces. And do you know what his nationality just happened to be? You know, this was all 30 different countries, so there's different, obviously a different commander all the time. He just happened to be a Danish man, a Dane. And he just happened to own houses, do you know where? In Greenland, southern Greenland. And this lady told him about us, and I've never met him, but she told him about us, and he said, you tell that missionary to put my name on the application and send it back in. So I had this commander's name of NATO forces. I put his name on the application, sent it back in, and praise the Lord, we got into Greenland. Now, it took about a year after we sent the paperwork in, amen. But the very next day, after we met that guy, or we didn't meet him, but after we found out about that contact, the very next day, the U.S. Naval Academy announced that they were closing their base. And it was closed within just a short number of months. And they said it usually takes maybe even 2 years to close a base. But I believe that God kept that base open for one reason, and that was for us to get into Greenland, amen. With God, all things are possible, amen. With God. Now, after we saw God open the door to Greenland, and there's so many things. Obviously, I'm not telling you. I'd be here all day if I told you every little thing that God did. Amen. I just want to give you the main things. But to say the least, we were very excited. You know, we just saw God open the door to Greenland way ahead of schedule. I mean, our faith was just so great. I mean, anything was possible. We thought, it was easy being, you know, being on the mountaintop. Amen. Have you ever been there before? Seeing God do something, and you're just amazing what God can do. But then when we arrived to Greenland, then we kind of you could say culture shock. We got hit with reality. God did a miracle opening up the door, but there was still a door we had to go through. And when we arrived to Greenland, we were alone. It was April. It was cold. It was snowy. We couldn't find a place to live. Finally, we were able to find a temporary place to rent for 3 months. The man, of course, you know, charged us a lot of extra, but we were able to find somewhere to live. But Carol was also 8 months pregnant, and we had three children that were five and under with us. And a lot of people around town, they said, we don't know what a Baptist is, but you know, they obviously don't mind having kids. Amen. We had to tell them that we weren't Mormons. Of course, we had to tell everybody we're not Mormons. We're Bible believers. Amen. Carol was 8 months pregnant, and she went to the midwife, and the midwife said, we can't deliver the baby here in Elugisat. You're going to have to go to Nuuk. They said she was high risk. So Carol went. We were just there for 2 weeks, and Carol was already off to the city of Nuuk, 400 miles south. And, of course, that was a hard time. We, you know, we couldn't afford to be with her. And now she, in Greenland, they have socialized medicine, so it's free. You pay a lot of taxes. And of course you get what you pay for. Carol was, so she was the patient. They paid for her ticket, paid for her to go to Nuuk, and she took Anna with her. Anna was just a little girl. And so we were praying about what to do. And, you know, of course we were discouraged. I was talking to my pastor. Actually, we didn't have a phone yet. So I had to go into the town and talk on a payphone. Now, I don't know, you guys probably know what a payphone is. Some of you young kids that just graduated, right? But there was a payphone, and I just keep putting coins in the payphone as I talked to my pastor. And I remember just breaking down and just so discouraged. And he told me, just put one foot in front of the other, amen. And, that's what we have to do in the Christian life sometimes. We have to get our eyes off all our problems and just keep our eyes on the Lord, right, and just go one step at a time, amen. You know, the Bible says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, amen. And sometimes people say, well, how did you do it? Well, it's not how we did it. God did it. God sustained us. And we've all gone through trials in our lives where we knew God sustained us. Amen. You don't have to be a missionary to see God do the impossible. You don't have to be a pastor to see God do the impossible. You just have to be saved. Amen. And serving the Lord. And we've all been there. We've all been through trials, and we've all seen God do the impossible in our lives. Amen. But Carol was in Nuuk. And so we prayed in churches. Actually, we just got a letter. My pastor sent a letter out, and I didn't even know about it. And the church we were just at in Wisconsin, he had a copy of that letter, and he showed it to us. My pastor sent a letter out to churches, asking churches to consider helping us get plane tickets so I could be with my wife. And that's what happened. And I was able to be with Carol. Now, let me try to explain the situation at that time in Nuuk. She was staying in the hospital hotel. And it wasn't really a hotel. There's no housekeeping. And just two single European beds, two pillows, two blankets. And when we came to Nuke, we all just moved right into the hotel with Carol. But we weren't free. We weren't the patients. So we had to pay. And they were keeping tab, you know, how many we were, how many days we were there. And also, Carol was able to eat the hospital food. So she was eating whale meat, seal meat, fish soup. And our girls Anna used to love that stuff when she was 4 years old, didn't know what she was eating. But when I got there, Carol showed me the menu, and she said, "Can you tell me what I'm eating?" And I was like, "Well, you don't want to know." but we weren't, once again, we had to pay. Carol was the patient, but we had to pay. So about after 3 days of being in Nuke, Carol, she was up all night, couldn't sleep, and she told me, she said, "We can't afford this. You're going to have to just go back to Ludicet. I'll be fine. The Lord will take care of me. It's too expensive." So that very morning, the Lord is amazing. That very morning, we went to the cafeteria, and the head of the patient hotel, a Greenlandic woman who could barely speak English, she came up to us. Now, we hadn't talked to her, but just, smiling, saying hi. She came up to us, and we were sitting at the table, and she said, "Secret? You keep secret?" We're like, we had no idea what she's talking about. And she said, "You stay and you eat, but you don't pay." And of course, we ended up being there. Carol ended up being there for 4 weeks. So we were there for over 3 weeks with Carol. And, the bill would have been probably $10,000. And we never got a bill. Amen. We waited for that bill to come. I did. Sometimes I lacked faith, but the bill never came. Amen. Only God can do those things, right? Only God can do those things. Look at Zechariah real quick with me. Pastor, what time are we usually done here in Sunday school? Okay. Zechariah. Chapter 4. And look at verse number 6 and 7. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." Amen. The impossible task Zerubbabel had was to rebuild the temple, right? And he wasn't going to do it in his own strength, right? It was going to be by God's spirit. And that's how we serve the Lord. That's how we accomplish things for God. It's with God. It's through Christ, right? It's by his spirit. Amen. And he said, that mountain, he'll flatten those mountains. Amen. And that's what God does in our lives. He just removes mountains. Sometimes he flattens them. Amen. With God, all things are possible. And there's so much to say. Maybe I'll just try to say a little more before the time's up. It's just amazing what God has done. When we got back to Greenland, back to Ludicet, I should say, we couldn't find any housing, long-term housing. And we were praying about what to do. And our landlord, he said, "Oh, I have a place you can, we were renting from him for 3 months. He said, "I have a place that you can move into." So he told me to go look at it. So I went to look at this place. It was an old fire hall that caught on fire. And they had painted over, painted and fixed it up a little bit. And it was just one room. I walked in there, and it was just one open room, just a small room, maybe this size here. And then on the side there was a wall, and someone had cut a hole out of the wall, out of the plywood. So I had to step through the wall, watch I didn't bang my head or trip over. And then right out that wall, there was these concrete steps. I went downstairs to a little kitchen area. But I'm thinking in my mind, the price is right. we can, this is going to be good. It'll fit our budget. We'll make it work. And then I went and looked into the bathroom, and there was a honey bucket. Now, how many know what a honey bucket is? That's a plastic toilet with a bag. And the worst thing about it is that it was full. And the place had been empty for years. And I, got real spiritual. I remember thinking to myself, the Lord would not expect us to live this way. Amen. Amen. Of course, what did Paul say? He said, "I've learned to be content." Amen. You have to go back to school, right, and learn to be content. And I went back to Carol, and I told her, I was like, "We can't do this." And Carol told me, she said, "Well, if you," she said, "God got us this far. Obviously, we're not turning around, we're not turning back." Amen. There's times that I was down that Carol was able to encourage me. There's times that Carol was down, and I was able to encourage her. Praise the Lord, we weren't down on the same day. Yeah. Important to have a good wife. Amen. If you're in the ministry, you need a good wife to stand by your side and to be that helpmeet. Amen. But Carol said, well, if you, she said, I'll clean the bucket if you remove the bag. So I went back there and I had rubber gloves. Of course, the week before, I was actually going around town trying to find a new bucket. But all I could find was a little toilet, a camper's toilet. And that was like $400. And that wouldn't have been any good. So I went there and I started to take that bag out and it started to tear and leak. And finally I thought, well, this is silly. So I just disconnected the ventilation pipe and I just picked that bucket up. It probably weighed like 50 pounds and I was just carrying it outside. And the moment I carried it outside, the Lord, so every time I think what the Lord did, I just laugh because God is amazing. But I took that bucket outside and at the very moment a truck pulled up from the municipality. And in the back of their truck, they had a big box. And you know what was in that box? A brand new plastic toilet. And I was like, praise the Lord. I mean, they thought I was crazy American. I was like, praise the Lord, thank you. And I showed them, I said, here's the old one, you know, take it away. And I went back to Carol, and we fell on our knees weeping and praising God for a plastic toilet. Isn't God good? Amen. And of course, we live good now. So you don't feel sorry for us. Amen. And, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes we think back on those days, and we don't want to go back to that. But those were the days that we felt so close to God. I mean, you know, we were on our knees all the time because we needed God's help all the time. And we still need God's help all the time. But, you know, what happens is we get comfortable, right? And then we just try to do things in our own strength, and we forget, you know. But I would love to go back and have that closeness with God. Amen. And we can have it, right? We can all have that closeness with God. We don't have to go through trials to be close to God. We need to learn to seek God even when everything is good in our lives. Amen. But with God, all things are possible. Let me just tell you one more thing, and then we'll be done. So many things here, but you remember, how many remember that tax problem we had? That was a long time ago. But after being in Greenland for a few years, I realized my taxes weren't being done properly. Now, when I first got to Greenland, I went to the tax office, and I explained to them what I was doing. And I said, is this right? Is this okay? And they said, yes. They didn't understand a word I was saying. They're just agreeing, yes. And natives will do that. They'll agree with you many times. And that's why you have to be careful with the gospel. You know, we don't try to get the natives to say a prayer because they'll say a prayer to please you. We want to make sure they understand the gospel, understand a sin, right? Understand that they can't have Christ and their infant baptism. They can't have Christ and their confirmation, right? They have to rely solely on Christ to save them from their sins. Amen. So I got a tax accountant and he started looking at our taxes and he said, this is bad. He said, you're just looking at it. He said, probably like $45,000 American. And, you know, we really thought we messed up. I thought I ruined God's work. I was like, you know, how can I know? I tried. I was so careful, you know. And we wept and we were going to have to leave the field because of something silly, you know. Aren't you glad that it's not about us? You can't ruin God's work, right? If it's God's work. Amen. And, you know, it was a long drawn out process, but, the head of the first, I worked churches. I didn't want to ask. I didn't ask for money. I just told them. I said, "This is the issue we have. They say we're going to owe $45,000 in back taxes," and you know, of course, churches don't want to give money for back taxes. Amen. I wouldn't want to. And you know, within just a short time, $46,000 came into our mission agency. And I remember going in my tax accountant. He thought we were leaving, and I remember going in and telling him. I said, "My churches that support us, they know the gospel is the truth." And they know it's the only thing that could change the hearts and souls of men. And they're going to do everything to keep us here. Amen. Amen. Testimony to churches like yours. Amen. And so what happened is the head of the tax department, the head of the IRS of Greenland came to meet with me, came from Nuuk to meet with me. And he said he was going to be lenient with me. Of course, you know, I didn't think he was being lenient. Amen. But he told me that he was going to make our ministry nonprofit. And in order to be nonprofit, you have to have like 50 members. And you know, the most we've had one time in a service was 39 Native people. So to see 50 members is going to take, you know, maybe a lifetime. And he said, here it is. Sign the paper. You have nonprofit status. And I don't know if I made it clear earlier on, but I got into Greenland as a missionary with that man's recommendation. But to be a missionary, you could only be in Greenland for 3 years, then you have to leave. So I tried not to worry about that. I put it in the Lord's hands. Well, we had been there for a little over 2 years, and I didn't know what we were going to do. But now that we are a nonprofit, I was the CEO, so I hired myself. Amen. And we never had a problem with immigration again. And now we're Danish citizens. With God, all things are possible. And then there's more to the story. The head of the tax department said, we're going to make it retroactive from the day you arrive to Greenland. And I, of course, I'm a missionary. I keep receipts for every little thing. Amen. And we were able to bring all those back taxes way down. And I remember we wrote churches and we told them, we said, at the same time, the church building came up. And of course, you guys have been there. You've seen the church building. It's amazing. It's 2,000 square foot building in the Arctic. That is amazing to have a building that size in the Arctic. And we wrote churches and we said, would you mind if we put that money toward a building instead of back taxes? And of course, every single one said yes. And, you know, there's more to the story, but God had done a miracle. And really, when we got the building, that's when people started coming out. We had meetings in our home, but we were next door to the Jehovah Witnesses. So it was always difficult. You know, people thought we were the JWs. I call them the Jehovah False Witnesses. But praise God, you know, for that. And there's still much more to the story. But, and if you read the rest of Matthew, the context of Matthew, when Jesus said, with God, all things are possible, was a rich man came to Jesus, right? And Jesus said, oh, I should read it so I don't misquote it. Matthew 19, and we'll be done here. He said, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? In my thinking, the disciples were thinking, if a rich man who has it easy, has no cares in this world, if he can't get saved, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know, it's really the context is our souls can be saved. Amen. And, you know, just think about yourself, what a miracle that was that you got saved. I mean, that's the impossible happening. When a lost person can see their sin as God sees it and turn to Christ and know that Christ paid for their sins and can cry out and get saved. That is a miracle. That is the impossible. Amen. And in Greenland, you know what? We've seen God do the impossible. And we actually have some believers, right? People that have been saved. And we have all these ministries that you saw. The children have heard the gospel. They're quoting John 3:16 in their native language. God has done the impossible. And I feel like we're just getting started. There's so much more to do in Greenland. Amen. And thank you for the part you've had in that. With God, all things are possible. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for just a blessing in our lives, Lord. We're so glad we're saved, Lord, and that we can see you working in our lives. Lord, just help us to be faithful to you, stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.